WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Right now on WRAL News at noon, a father at the center of yesterday's Amber Alert is in court after taking his daughter from her mother's house. What the family of the mom says and why they're supporting the father.
The conflict between Israel and Hamas is ending its third day. We'll give you a look from a hospital on the ground in Tel Aviv.
Also, today is World Mental Health Day, how it's raising awareness about the importance of access to mental health care. The man at the center of an Amber Alert yesterday just finished up his first court appearance. Mitchell Grayson is accused of abducting his four-year-old daughter from an apartment in Durham. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Renee Chu.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. Thanks for joining us. WRAL has been on this story all over it, bringing you exclusive interviews and video like this of Grayson turning himself in to Durham police last night. Grayson called WRAL as he was on his way there, even called from the jail again overnight, saying he felt he was rescuing his daughter from an unsafe situation.
WRAL Sarah Kruger is live outside the Durham courthouse to tell us what the judge decided and what family there had to say about all this. Sarah.
Renee, a judge set Grayson's bond at $25,000 secured. That is even higher than the $10,000 the state was recommending. Let's show you some video now from the courtroom where Grayson made a virtual appearance. He had a number of supporters in the courtroom. That includes his own mother as well as the brother of the child's mother. He was not here supporting her. Instead, he was supporting Grayson. He told me that he believes Grayson is the one better suited to care for the little girl.
And this has to be a little bit uncomfortable for you, speaking out against your sister.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely.
But why are you doing it?
I believe in what's right and what's wrong. Like, I believe that he's in a right and she's in a wrong in this situation. Like, it's a bunch of people out there that's guys that are dealing with this stuff and all the time, and women always win.
And we mentioned WRAL was there last night when Grayson turned himself in, holding his daughter at police headquarters. He said they had been in the mountains at his home in Wilkesboro. His charges in this incident include aggravated assault on an adult and breaking and entering. In court, the assistant DA said Grayson has what she called a plethora of pending drug charges in other counties. She also said he has prior convictions for assault, DWI, and contributing to the delinquency of a juvenile. The family who was here today said this is really a messy custody battle that is now playing out, at least in part, in the public eye. And as far as that $25,000 secured bond, I asked the family after court if that was feasible for them. They said no way. So for now, he will remain in jail. Renee.
Sarah Kruger reporting live from outside the Durham County Courthouse.
Now to the war in Israel. Israel says its border with Gaza is now secure. Israel continues to pound Gaza with airstrikes, displacing more than 100,000 people. We know the estimated number of hostages in Gaza is between 100 to as many as 150. More than 900 people are dead in Israel, 765 dead in Gaza. NBC's Kelly Cobier reports from a hospital lobby in Tel Aviv.
Well, we are in a hospital lobby, the largest hospital in all of Israel here in central Tel Aviv, and this has been turned into a blood donation center. They were adding beds as we arrived. That's how large the outpouring is to donate blood. In fact, there's a line all the way down the hospital corridor of people waiting to donate. On the ground in Israel, the Israeli Defense Forces say they are amassing troops on the border with Gaza. They are continuing this counteroffensive in the air. Some 200 strikes on Islamic Jihad and Hamas positions inside Gaza. They say they hit two mosques, one of which they say was a command center, the other a place where weapons were being stored. But for civilians in Gaza, the situation is increasingly dire. The United Nations says 187,000 people are now displaced. The vast majority of them are being cared for in shelters. There are nearly 800 dead now, among them more than 100 children. There are images of children being pulled out of the rubble of buildings by rescue workers and put into ambulances. And the UN also says that the hospitals are just barely functioning now, that they're running very low on medicine and on fuel used to power the generators to keep those hospitals running. Kelly Kobiaya, NBC News.
And President Joe Biden is expected to address the war in Israel in a speech at 1 p.m. We'll bring you updates on our evening news beginning at 4 p.m.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, one of Kerry's most prominent leaders has passed away. Coco Booth passed away Monday night. Current Kerry Mayor Harold Weinbrecht made that announcement today. Booth served the town for decades, including 12 years as mayor. Kerry's signature Coco Booth Amphitheater is named after him. And to honor Booth, the town of Kerry will lower their flags for 12 days, one day for each year that he was mayor. They will proclaim that day to be a day of remembrance in Kerry. Voting is underway in many local communities, including Kerry, Durham, and Fayetteville. 30 municipal elections are being held today across 9 counties in our area. This is the first election where you'll be required to show photo ID in order to vote. Polls close tonight at 7:30. In Kerry, voters are choosing 3 of the council members as well as the mayor. Incumbent Mayor Harold Weinbrecht is running unopposed. Over to Durham, today is the primary. There are 8 candidates on the ballot for mayor. The top 2 will advance to the general election. Mayor Elaine O'Neill is not running for re-election after just 1 term. City council seats are also on the ballot.
Moving to Fayetteville, Renee, there is a primary for mayor and 2 city council seats. Current Mayor Mitch Colvin is on the ballot, running for a 4th term. The top vote getters will advance to face off in the general election. The polls are open until 7:30 tonight. WRA will start sharing results on air and on our digital platforms shortly after the polls close tonight.
On this World Mental Health Day, the focus is on the importance of people having access to mental health care. World Health Organization research shows about 65 million Americans live with a mental health condition, but more than half are not receiving treatment. A day like today promotes awareness about the importance of people asking and getting the help they need. One UNC Chapel Hill expert we spoke with suggests our mental health should be checked just like our vital signs. Karan Johnson says equally important is a supportive community.
Faith communities, recreational communities, families, loved ones, friends that stand with willing, compassionate hearts and open minds and are able to sit with us when we say, I'm not doing the best. And rather than trying to fix it, we'll sit with and say, how can I support you in this?
Johnson says there's more of an acknowledgement these days of people embracing their search for mental health care. She says that will further reduce the stigma around mental health care. This year's theme is mental health is a universal human right.
Today you have a chance to give your input on what's in the Raleigh City budget. A listening session is happening today from 6 to 7:30 at the Green Road Community Center. City officials want the community's input on things like transportation, housing, parking, and the environment. If you can't make it to today's session, there is another one tomorrow at Abbotts Creek Community Center. A road improvement project is underway in Lee County that'll improve safety and ease the commute for drivers. The DOT has hired a firm to widen Broadway Road, also known as NC 42. Specifically, a 6-mile area between U.S. 421 business in Sanford and Broadway. This is the main connector road between those 2 towns. Right now, crews are clearing the road and taking erosion control steps to prepare it. The physical road work will not begin until the spring. Drivers will notice occasional lane closures and traffic shifts throughout the work.
You're looking live at RDU International Airport, where TSA is looking to hire new employees ahead of the busy holiday travel season. A recruiting and application assistance event is now underway. TSA has openings for both full-time and part-time positions. People who attend the event can get information about the roles and the hiring process. You can stop by the DoubleTree at Research Triangle Park until 3 this afternoon. The starting salary for a TSA agent at RDU is a little more than $39,000. Once an agent completes a year of service, the salary jumps to nearly $50,000.
It's a big weigh-in day at North Carolina State Fair. Giant pumpkins and watermelons will hit the scales trying to come out on top. There are 18 pumpkins and 17 watermelons qualified and entered. This is expected to be a very competitive year. Also today, inspectors will be at the rides at the state fair, looking at how they can keep them working and keep your family safe during the big event. The State Department of Labor will be starting the inspection process at the fairgrounds. This is video from last year's inspections. There are close to 100 rides at the fair for you to enjoy this year. And coming up in our next half hour, we'll take a look at another of the big attractions at the fair, the new foods you can try. You can also meet some familiar faces out there from our WRIL team when you visit the fair. You can find our tent on the northeast side of Dorton Arena facing Restaurant Row. On Thursday, Mike Mays and Keely Arthur will be there from 2 to 3 in the afternoon. Friday, it is Renee and I there, and we'll be there from 10:30 to 11:30. Lena Tillett, Dan Haggerty will be there later on Friday, 2 until 3 p.m. You can find a full list on WRL.com. Just search fair.
No one matched all the numbers to win the massive Powerball jackpot, but four tickets sold in North Carolina did match enough numbers to win 50 grand. The jackpot for tomorrow night's drawing has surged to $1.73 billion. This is the second largest jackpot ever. Tomorrow night's drawing will be the 36th in this jackpot run. You can buy your tickets at a lottery store or go to the North Carolina Education Lottery website to get them online. Next at noon, the race for a new Speaker of the House in Washington, D.C. appears to be a two-person race. How Jim Jordan and Steve Scalise plan to win over their colleagues ahead of a secret vote.
Also, one of the last three known survivors of the Tulsa race massacre of 1921 has died. The connection he had to the two still remaining.
Plus, the war in Israel with Hamas is raising prices of crude oil. At 12:30, we'll explore what that could mean for gas prices here in the U.S. Elizabeth.
A beautiful day out there. We'll take a live look at Apex. There's a little bit of cloud cover here, but a good bit of sunshine. As we get into the afternoon, a cold front will sweep through. I'll show you when and who has the best chance of seeing some sprinkles later on.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
House Republicans need to pick a new House Speaker, and they're trying to act fast because the lower chamber is at an essential standstill until then. As Mike Emanuel reports, with Israel's war, there is a newfound urgency to get the House in order to support one of America's top allies.
It appears to be a two-man race to be the next Speaker of the House after Kevin McCarthy's historic ouster last week. McCarthy is not ruling out returning, but for now it's Trump-endorsed Jim Jordan versus House Majority Leader Steve Scalise.
I'm ready to go with a great team in place to move fast in uniting people from all factions of our conference.
Both of the declared candidates will try and win over colleagues before their caucus holds a secret ballot to see who the favorite is. A full House vote on the floor could come soon after.
I think that we'll have a new speaker seated probably by Wednesday or Thursday.
It is not clear whether anyone can win a majority of House votes, but Congress doesn't have time for a drawn-out fight. After Hamas militants launched a surprise attack on Israel Saturday, the bloodiest day for Jews since the Holocaust.
Whoever they pick, we want to make sure we can work to find common ground, especially now in a time of crisis like this.
The lower chamber is essentially paralyzed, unable to pass emergency aid until a speaker is seated. Even a simple bipartisan resolution condemning Hamas and supporting Israel cannot get a vote until then.
I think the world is watching. They're seeing a dysfunctional democracy.
That was Mike Emanuel reporting. There is still a looming government shutdown that could happen next month. And with no speaker, little progress can be made.
Former President Donald Trump's ex-CFO, Alan Weisselberg, is expected to testify in Trump's tax fraud trial. New York AG Letitia James' lawsuit alleges Weisselberg changed Trump's financial statements to show increases in his net worth. Weisselberg served 100 days in jail for pleading guilty last year to 15 counts in a decades-long tax fraud scheme. Russia has denied the appeal for release of Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich for a third time now. This morning, Gershkovich appeared inside a plexiglass and wood box inside the Russian courtroom. Gershkovich was detained in March, accused of espionage during a reporting trip. Russia's main security service accused him of trying to obtain state secrets, a charge Gershkovich and his employer have denied. Hughes Van Ellis, one of the last three known survivors of the 1921 Tulsa race massacre, has died. Yesterday morning, the World War II veteran died at the age of 102 in Denver. Ellis was a baby when he and his sister, Viola Fletcher, fled their Tulsa home from racial violence. Ellis's 109-year-old sister and 108-year-old sister, Leslie Randall, are the last two remaining survivors.
If you've tested your DNA with the 23andMe service, hackers may have stolen some of your information. The genetics testing site says it's investigating a hacker's claim that millions of customers' information is up for sale on the dark web. Information may include names, birth years, genders, and ancestry. The company is contacting people who may have been impacted and says everyone should change their password on the site. The U.S. Postal Service wants to raise stamp prices again. The proposed new rates would include a 2-cent increase in the price of the Forever stamp from 66 to 68 cents. Other price hikes would include certified mail, post office box rental fees, money order fees, and the cost for insurance when you mail an item. The Postal Regulatory Commission still has to review any price changes.
Well, here's a sign holiday shopping season is kicking off. Amazon Prime's Big Deals Days is today and tomorrow. 500 Side went to find out how big of a deal this sale really is, and the short answer is not really. Marketplace analytics group Pattern compared the data from last year's sale, Amazon's Black Friday, and Cyber Monday sales, and they found that many items, from kids' toys to tech, went on deeper discounts for both Black Friday and Cyber Monday.
You're probably better off waiting a little bit later into the holiday season. That being said, there is obviously some benefit to just getting your shopping done early and having that just, even if it costs a little more, just having it done for the holidays. And so, again, don't want to dissuade any of your viewers from doing that. But again, if they're strapped for cash, if they're trying to make their money stretch, might be better off to wait a month.
So coming up later today, 500 Sides, Keely Arthur will tell you which products go on the deepest discounts and when. Always a good strategy to figure that out.
Oh, Prime Days is huge. So bosses, just be a little understanding if, you know, some people in the workplace may just be doing a little looking on Amazon today, right?
Research.
Wouldn't blame them. That's right. Or get outside and enjoy this gorgeous weather. Elizabeth, lots of sunshine out there.
Oh, so pretty. We're going to take a live look at Clinton right now, which is looking at a beautiful blue sky. We have some cloud cover. We're going to see those clouds thickening up a bit as we get into the end of the day today, into the evening, as we have a cold front come through. But we're looking at a lot of sunshine out there right now. That cold front is very, very slowly moving out of the mountains eastward. Not a lot of cloud cover across North Carolina right now. You can see on Futurecast, by the time we get to the middle of the afternoon, we see a bit more cloud cover streaming in. We'll still call it variably cloudy. Still probably going to be able to see a little bit of sunshine in between those clouds. At 5 o'clock, there are a few scattered showers back to the west. And by the time we get to 7 or 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, we're going to see a few isolated showers from Raleigh northward. Probably not going to see anything down around Fayetteville or Clinton, but a few sprinkles up to the north. Not enough to measure anything in the rain gauges, but just don't be surprised if it just kind of wets the ground, settles the dust a little bit. We take a look at North Hills right now, and you can see some cloud cover here in Raleigh. 68 is our temperature. Our dew point is a very comfortable 49, and we'll climb into the mid to upper 70s across the area this afternoon. We were in the low 70s yesterday for comparison. It's 71 in Southern Pines and Fayetteville, 70 in Goldsboro, 71 in South Hill, and our cool spot is 66. Our temperatures are close to what they were yesterday, running maybe 2 to 6 degrees warmer than this time yesterday. That's going to be about right. Probably going to be about 4 degrees warmer this afternoon than we were yesterday. Looking at 77 in Raleigh, 75 in Durham, 82 for the high in Fayetteville, with some increase in cloud cover later on. Our temperature, our normal 75, and we're going to be right about that or maybe a couple of degrees warmer over the next several days, including the first day of the state fair. The gates open at noon on Thursday, and our high temperature will likely be in the upper 70s. Going to be a little bit of cloud cover on Thursday. The big question for Thursday is some tropical moisture to our south. Is how far north is it going to come? Right now, we feel pretty comfortable that it's going to stay to our south, but we're going to be looking at each run of the models very closely to see if any of that starts to inch farther north. If it does, we're going to have to add some rainfall to that forecast on Thursday. But pretty consistently, it's been dry over the last several runs. Lots of warmth, too. Temperatures climbing up to and above normal, but not for for long. We have another front that comes through on Saturday that'll bring us a better chance for rain and also some much cooler temperatures for Sunday, Monday, and into the beginning of next week. So nice and mild. Looking at 70s all the way through Saturday. Saturday, that front comes through late in the day with a chance of some scattered thunderstorms. And behind it, we're nice and bright and breezy on Sunday. And then early next week, our temperatures will be cooler in the mid-60s. We're going to talk a little bit more about that tropical moisture. There are a couple of things down in the tropics we'll show you, and I'll show you how close that rain on Thursday could come to our area.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Later at 5, as we approach the one-year mark for the deadly Raleigh mass shooting, we're reminded of the innocent lives lost and those changed forever. Chelsea Donovan spoke to the fiancé of Mary Marshall on Life Without Her.
And still ahead this noon, teens are spending less money overall. Next at noon, we'll give you the breakdown of what they're spending money on and which demographic is actually spending more money than last year.
And Gardner native Scotty McCreery is hitting the road for a 2024 tour. Where you can see him and how to get tickets next. A birthday giveaway for one of Starbucks' most popular drinks, and Hollywood writers approve their new contract. Those are among today's business headlines with Sabile Marcellus.
Hollywood's writers have ratified their new contract with movie and TV studios. The three-year deal offers pay increases every year. It also includes restrictions on the use of artificial intelligence and a new system of residual payments for streaming content. The Writers Guild of America says 99% of members voted to approve the deal. The focus now turns to Hollywood's actors who remain on strike. Now, talks to settle that walkout began last week. Cruise prices are soaring thanks to huge demand for vacations. Some tickets from operators like Royal Caribbean and Carnival are now priced higher than before the pandemic. Website Cruise Critics says the average price of a five-night cruise in the Caribbean this December is going for $736. That's 37% more than a year ago, and it's 43% higher than December 2019 before the pandemic hit. And with the price of everything from labor to food and fuel higher, cruise prices could keep climbing even more. Starbucks' pumpkin spice latte turns 20 today. The drink was introduced on this date back in 2003. It was first offered just at 100 Starbucks stores. It's since grown into a cultural phenomenon and led to dozens of pumpkin spice drinks and even food items from competitors. Now, Starbucks is marking the 20th anniversary today by offering a free sheet of temporary tattoos when you order a pumpkin spice latte. The giveaway is good regardless if you go for a hot, cold, or blended pumpkin spice latte. And those are your business headlines. I'm Sabile Marcellus at the NASDAQ market site.
Teenagers are spending less with inflation among their top concerns. The environment remains their top political and social issue right now, with inflation second. Overall, teen spending is down 1% from last fall. Boys report spending about 11% more than last year. Girls are spending about 8% less. Boys are prioritizing food spending while girls are focused on clothing. They're spending less on apparel and shoes this year and more on accessories.
This morning, country music artist Scotty McCreery announced his 2024 tour will include a stop in Durham.
What's up, y'all? Scotty here, and I'm so excited to let you know I am hitting the road next year on the Cabin of Solo Tour starting in February.
The Gardner Native's Cabin of Solo Tour will stop at the DPAC February 1st. He'll be joined by Ann Wilson, as well as Graylin James and Noah Hicks on select stops. Scotty says he loves putting together specific tours, and he thinks this one will be one of his favorites. Tickets go on sale this Friday.
A Cabernet and a solo cup right there. Wow. Coming up, as conflict continues in the Middle East, we could start seeing the impacts here at home. The growing concerns rising crude oil prices could reach gas pumps here in North Carolina.
Plus, today is World Mental Health Day. As parents, it's important to have open conversations with your kids. Coming up, a pediatrician weighs in on how to build trust to have those important talks and the warning signs to look for.
And have a look at your winning NC Education Lottery numbers on your screen right now.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
The war between Israel and Hamas is raising crude oil prices. This comes as drivers in the U.S. are finally seeing slumping prices after the busy summer season. Jen Sullivan examines growing concerns that rising costs overseas could reach pumps in the U.S.
An escalating conflict overseas, impacting crude oil prices, rattling global stocks. And raising concerns here at home that prices at U.S. gas pumps could soon soar.
If the theater of war gets expanded from Israel and the Gaza to other parts of the Middle East, you could see some real impact.
While Israel is not a major oil producer, prolonged tensions in the Middle East could trigger global investors in the long term, fearing the conflict could spread further and impact the fragile global economic recovery. And analysts say that's especially worrisome if oil producer Iran becomes actively involved in the conflict.
It really could alter the calculus for oil supplies and prices coming out of that region that exports about 20 million barrels a day to the rest of the world.
As of Monday afternoon, the average price for a gallon of regular gasoline in the United States was $3.70. According to AAA, that's 11 cents below a week ago. Analyst Tom Kloza says despite the war, the impact isn't going to trickle down to consumers right away. And more relief for drivers is actually on the way.
For the next 60 days, you're going to see gasoline prices become much more palatable. You're going to see disinflation for gasoline.
The conflict comes as gas prices in the United States are falling significantly as demand drops off and the industry uses cheaper winter blends to sell to consumers.
Sullivan reporting. We're not seeing those impacts on gas prices in our state yet. The current North Carolina average for gas, $3.34. That's down 8 cents from a week ago and down 16 cents from the state average at this time last year. In Raleigh, the average gas price is $3.34. In Durham Chapel Hill, you'll see prices around $3.46. And in Fayetteville, the average is $3.22 a gallon. Those numbers are all down from a week ago.
The White House and other well-known landmarks around the world are showing support for Israel following weekend attacks by Hamas on Israel and the formal declaration of war. Last night, the White House was lit up blue and white, the colors of the Israeli flag. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham requested that show of support. The Sydney Opera House was lit up in support of Israel. You can see people wearing the Israeli flag watching from a distance there. Meanwhile, hundreds of pro-Palestine demonstrators marched through the streets of the city chanting Free Palestine. The Eiffel Tower was also illuminated blue in solidarity with the Israeli people. The mayor of Paris posted the photo of the monument to her account on X.
Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Johnston, Cumberland, and Lee counties. You're looking live at Clayton, where leaders have developed the first-ever comprehensive transportation plan called Clayton on the Move. Now, this plan will identify the town's long-term vision for roadway public transit, as well as bicycle and pedestrian facilities. You can find the survey on the town's website. You have until December 14th to give your input.
People in Cumberland County want to avoid the intersection of Eastern Boulevard and East Russell Street in Fayetteville. Crews closed that railroad crossing and surrounding roads this morning to accommodate scheduled maintenance. Work there should be complete by Thursday, 6 a.m. Detours are posted.
The Salvation Army of Lee County is getting ready to start its Christmas Joy Angel Tree Program. You can register starting Thursday. Registration will be happening at First Presbyterian Church in Sanford from 9 to 3 and 5 to 8. You can apply to be part of the program if your family needs help with clothing and toys for the holidays. You do need to bring proof of address and proof of income.
School is in session as usual today at Terry Sanford High School after an hour-long standoff right near that school early this morning. One person is now in custody after the standoff with Fayetteville Police. Brett Neese was there in the WRL Breaking News Tracker.
This is the scene here on North Churchill Drive as two cars are towed away here from the scene after what was more than an hour-long standoff overnight with police. Take a look. This is video from the WRL Breaking News Tracker. This all played out around 1:30 this morning at this home right next to Terry Sanford High School. Police say when they got here to this scene, a man had barricaded himself inside one of these cars and started firing several shots at them. Multiple cars in the area were hit by bullets. Police say eventually they were able to convince that man to turn himself in. They also say somebody was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries, but it's not clear if it was that man or someone else involved. Still, a lot of questions remain unanswered. I'm working to find out who that man is at the center of all of this. I'll keep you updated. I am told that Terry Sanford High School is planning on holding classes. In Fayetteville, Brett Neese, WRAL News.
We continue to press the owners of Busco Beach ATV Park for answers after several accidents over the weekend led to four people being airlifted to the hospital. The accidents happened during the park's Fall Bash event. EMS officials tell us since the year 2000, 13 people have died at Busco Beach. WRAL reached out to the park's new owners asking for a response to this weekend's injuries and if they plan to implement any new safety changes. The owners told us they're working on a response.
From candy to protein shakes, one state becomes the first to ban certain chemicals added to many of the foods we eat. What those additives are and when the ban takes effect.
Plus, understanding the pay gap between men and women. How one researcher's work on the issue earned her a prestigious honor. Today is World Mental Health Day, a good reminder for parents to talk to their kids about mental health to recognize if they're struggling with something like anxiety or depression. It is crucial for parents to build trust with their kids by responding to them in a non-judgmental way. This lets children know they can confide in their parents no matter the subject.
Having open communication is paramount to the parent-child relationship and your child being able to trust a parent and sharing being vulnerable, sharing that they've been feeling anxious or that they've been feeling depressed.
Experts say children who are experiencing anxiety or depression may become more irritable, lose interest in activities they used to enjoy, or have trouble sleeping. They may also experience physical symptoms like stomach aches or frequent headaches and asked to stay home from school more often.
Two hormones produced during pregnancy alter the brain circuits that control parenting behavior. Recognizing the role of pregnancy hormones in parenting is important, in part because it suggests there are biological reasons that some women do not bond with their children. In the study, scientists looked at mice with neurons, which involve mating and parenting behaviors. Those without the presence of the neurons did not bond with their pups. California is now the first state to ban three potentially harmful chemicals typically found in candy, drinks, and food. The California Food Safety Act prohibits the manufacturing, sale, or distribution of food products containing red dye number 3, potassium bromate, and brominated vegetable oil. Red dye number 3 is found in nearly 3,000 products from candy to protein shakes. The new law will not be implemented until 2027. Some groups oppose the proposal, saying it will create confusion over food safety.
Three women have now been awarded the Nobel Prize. And coming up, we'll tell you about the latest recipient and why she won.
And a doctor writes a unique prescription. We'll tell you about his feline treatment plan.
Happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, we have an update to a story that we've been following since April after an 18-year-old was killed at Academy Sports and Outdoors in Apex. This did involve an FBI agent. So this afternoon, here's what we know. No criminal charges will be held against Denzel Ward, which is the FBI agent. The district attorney says use of force was justified in all of this. They do not have any body camera footage. The FBI agent was in the store shopping, heading home from a training session that he attended in the area. And per agency policy, an agent is on duty while traveling to and from training. Rafael Sanchez, which is the 18-year-old who was killed, and a female, they were also at that store accused of stealing ammunition. The DA said witness statements indicated that Rafael Sanchez grabbed the rifle and pointed it right at that FBI agent. Again, that agent not facing any criminal charges this afternoon.
Many of us remember that shooting. A significant update there. Michelle, thank you. Much has been said and studied over the years about the pay gap between men and women in the workplace. One Harvard professor's research seeks to explain why the divide persists. Alexis McAdams explains that work has earned the researcher one of the highest honors in her field.
The Nobel Prize in Economics awarded on Monday to a Harvard professor whose work sheds light on the true cause of the pay gap between men and women. Claudia Golden is the author of Understanding the Gender Gap. She studied 200 years of women's participation in the workplace and says the environment has changed drastically in the 21st century.
Women are now more educated than men. They graduate from college at much higher rates than men. They do better in high school.
Despite those advances, women earn on average about 13% less than men. Golden says that number doesn't tell the whole story.
These differences, although some are found within the labor market, are really reflections of what happens within individuals' homes.
The key factor, Golden says, is parenthood. After having kids, women's pay tends to drop and career growth slows down. That's because modern corporate culture tends to reward workers with more flexibility and availability.
America runs on women. And we noticed that during the pandemic, when women were being pulled back into the home, because of their work and because of childcare.
Ultimately, Golden says both genders lose out, women on advancing in their careers and men on spending time at home with their families. Only about half the world's women have paying jobs compared to 80% of men. Economists believe that's a wasted opportunity, with jobs not always going to the most qualified candidates.
It's about economic efficiency of markets. So is there a risk that we're wasting potential by having women not participating in the labor market?
America runs on women. Golden's accomplishment is also a small step toward closing a gender gap among Nobel laureates in economics. She's just the third woman to win the prize in its history.
Thank you, Renee. Elizabeth Gardner on the other side. Hey, this studio runs on women. Elizabeth has all the answers for weather today.
Jeff, I think you're going to be in trouble from that.
No,
a couple
no,
of guys just, sitting over here that are making a face at you.
I'm stuck in the middle. It's okay.
it's a beautiful day. Hopefully, man, woman, whatever you are, hopefully you can get outside and enjoy some of it. We're going to see some more unsettled weather toward the end of the week, and we're going to walk through that over the next couple of minutes. But pretty in Goldsboro right now, just a few passing clouds. They're in Apex, beautiful blue sky in Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant, and Fayetteville looking lovely there right outside our newsroom. So we have this cold front. First of all, a couple of systems coming through that will have some maybe minor effects on our weather. This front slowly moving across the area. It's sent a few clouds out ahead of it. We'll end up seeing some more cloud cover, especially as we get closer to the evening commute. It may completely cloud up. And then with the front moving through this evening, there are going to be a few sprinkles. If you are going to be out and about between, say, 6 and 9 o'clock, you may run into a sprinkle or two if you're out. Maybe your kids have a game or you're out running some errands, you have a meeting to go to. There could be just a few sprinkles. We'll have a better chance for rain a little later in the week, starting on Thursday and continuing through Saturday. First of all, there's this system developing in the Gulf of Mexico. There's also a hurricane that's sitting off the coast of Mexico on the other side here in the Pacific. But watch how it's sending some moisture all the way up toward Texas. So all this moisture is moving up to the north and east. There's only a 30% chance that this system will develop, but it won't really matter if it takes on tropical characteristics. It's going to come with a lot of tropical moisture. And you can see the path that it's likely to take, North Florida up to South Carolina. We'll take another look and we'll kind of walk through the next few days. So this is going to be Wednesday at 4:30. You can start to see just a little bit of light patchy rain down to the south. I think most of us will stay dry during the day tomorrow, but just down to the south, there could be a few light showers.
Thanks for sticking with us. Here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. In the last 90 minutes, the man at the center of an Amber Alert finished up his first court appearance. Mitchell Grayson is accused of abducting his own 4-year-old daughter from an apartment in Durham. In court, the assistant DA said Grayson has what she called a plethora of pending drug charges in other counties. His family says they are not able to pay his $25,000 bond.
Right now, more than 1,000 people have died in Israel, according to the Israel Defense Forces, and 830 people have died in Gaza, according to the Palestinian Ministry of Health, since those attacks began this week. President Joe Biden is expected to speak about the fighting in the next 10 minutes, and we'll bring you the latest online and on our news at 4.
Today is election day for some towns in our area. People in 9 counties will go to the polls for 30 municipal races. Elections are happening in Cary, Durham, and Fayetteville. For some, this is the general election. For others, it's a primary.
A Michigan family is channeling their inner George and Jane Jetson. The family bought a home that many say is right out of the 1960s cartoon. Look at it. The house was built in 1994. It has lots of twists and turns. Almost every room has rounded walls. New owners, Jenny Shire and Sam Postema, bought the house in August after the former owner passed away last December. Shire and Postema say they hope to maintain the owner's vision for the home.
I have a lot of respect for what he was trying to do here. Everything he did, he put a lot of thought into. Like, you can tell there's nothing here that wasn't very well thought out. He had intention and a plan for everything he did to this house.
Well, the family says they now plan to do some renovations to update the home, and you can follow along with their journey by following their TikTok account.
A Virginia woman has a new furry family member. Robin Seif from Grottas, Virginia, got this new kitten because of her doctor's unique treatment plan. That treatment was to get a new cat. Seif says Dr. Earl King, a pulmonary specialist, has saved her life three times now. And Seif's cat recently died, and she says it's been really hard on her. So Dr. King wrote her a prescription for a new cat. Dr. King says pets have lots of health benefits for humans.
Then I actually wrote her a prescription to get a cat. Cats and dogs are important for patients, for comfort, for touch, for well-being of their cardiovascular health, lung health.
Oh, she makes me so happy. She makes me so happy.
I love that she followed doctor's orders. Seif says she hopes to take Earlene to visit facilities that help veterans and others who have lost limbs.
Today's pets of the day come from Triangle Rabbits. Winnie and Sandy are best buddies who need a new home together. Winnie enjoys pets and tolerates being held as long as treats are involved. Sandy will tolerate pets but will demand food at the same time. They're both pretty curious, and they also love chewing on wood sticks and exploring tunnels.
Keep it here on WREL. President Joe Biden is expected to address the war in Israel at 1 p.m. This is a live look. We will carry that live report here and on WREL.com. Have a great day.
Keep watching WREL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 57.